Welcome to another edition of In Focus. My name is Bob Perreault on this special holiday edition of In Focus. And today we welcome from early on our good friend Jane Paul, and we will be talking about early childhood education. Jane, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having us back again, Bob. It's always a pleasure.
It is. I look forward to these conversations every month. I find them so useful. I know through the feedback that we've gotten that there's so many parents who look forward to hearing Jane Paul. And then also they listen to us online at lanarkleadstoday.ca if they missed it. So lots of fun here. Let's get right into it. Today, you wanted to talk about supporting children's mental health. Now, that's a broad topic.
Yeah, it is. And we could probably talk for a couple of years on this. But I just thought, you know, at the beginning of this month, we had Mental Health Week here. And just a reminder that mental health is something that, you know, we don't just focus on in a week. It's all those little moments in everyday stuff that helps children's mental health.
Absolutely. And it's interesting because at the beginning of the pandemic, you were one of the first people who we had on, and we focused on mental health with children and how to address what was going on with them. And it was a topic that we talked about a few different times. So I'm interested in hearing what we have to talk about today. And you say that for a child, when we're talking about them here and talking about relationships, what age groups are we looking at?
Well, we always focus on the 0 to 6 age groups. But I mean, mental health is one of those things, because it's a relationship, it involves everybody that you're involved with. So it's the whole family constellation. And what is good for that age group is often good for our age group too. You know, it's for everybody in there. It's really about the basics of what drives us as humans.
Absolutely. So let's talk about it. Let's talk about the relationships part of it. I'm guessing that you mean, in this case, like the relationship, the type of relationship that you have with your child can really help dictate how happy they are and then, you know, how healthy they are when it comes to mental health.
Absolutely. I mean, you know me, I'm all about the behavior stuff, right? That's my forte. I love that area. And how we feel dictates our behaviors. And of course, how we feel is directly related to our mental health. So if you're struggling with your kids, right, step in and check on their mental health and your mental health, because it really always comes back to the relationship, no matter what you're talking about. So you set the stage, you know, in your daily interactions with your kids, you can either build them up or you can break them down. And it's all those tiny little moments. I mean, it would be really nice if we could just have a manual and say, please do A, B, and C, and then everybody's mental health would be wonderful. But unfortunately, that's not the way it works. We're all kind of built a little bit differently, and we all come at the world a little bit differently. So it's really important to make sure that the relationships that are in there are strong and healthy. And that's for all, like you said, you talked about age groups, but it's really about all of us in there.
Absolutely. And I love when we're talking about mental health, when we do make it a give and take type situation, because you can get so much out of these children. They can bring you so much joy. And if you've had a rough day or whatever, then sometimes they can really light up your lives and really change your mood.
It is, right? And that's what we were saying. How you feel really dictates your behavior and how you come at the world, because behavior is all about communication. So let's kind of break it down and see what it is that kids need here. So the first thing is those strong, caring, supportive relationships. And that's what you were talking about, right? When you look at your child and it makes you smile, when your child looks at you and the stress just leaves their body because they know they belong, they know that, you know, this is their person, this is the world they have. So those strong relationships are all about them feeling safe and secure. It's about spending time together. And it's having fun, because it's during those fun times that kids learn to communicate with you, that they build that relationship where the trust is formed, where they know you've got your back, where they know how to communicate with you to let you know how they're feeling and what's going on. So, I mean, so often parents will come to me and say, oh, my kids just won't listen to me. And the first thing I say to them is, well, what do you do for fun with them? And they look at me as if I have horns in my head. I'm not talking about that. I need them to listen to me. When we have fun, when we enjoy each other, when we have those moments that you just spoke about, where you look at them and they look at you and the love just shines, those are the times that build the communication, the trust, and it makes the tougher times a lot easier. And it's what gives them their inner self-esteem and resilience, which are two other things they also need for good mental health. When they know that they belong here, that there's somebody there who is strong and supportive. So we're talking about having fun, yes, but we're also talking about setting limits in there. You need both for strong relationships. You need warmth, which is showing affection and caring and love. And you need structure, which is setting those limits, right? And having guidelines, stepping in and guiding them when you need to guide them so that they're not doing this alone. And that's a big part of what they need, those strong relationships. And it can be with lots of different people. I mean, we're talking about family here at the moment, but it's also your daycare people, right? Your daily family, if you're at daycare. It's about your friends. It's about school. It's about all the different relationships you have in there. So it really does take a village to raise a child, right?
Absolutely. It certainly does. It's interesting, too, about how you can look at the child and see the different relationships that they do have with different people. Like you said, daycare, grandparents, great-grandparents, aunts and uncles, and so on. They're themselves to a point. And then you get to the parents, the people who are with them all the time. And then that's when they get to let loose and they get to show a lot of big emotions. And maybe they've maybe held in check and out of respect for other people. And it to me, it's fascinating to watch these relationships develop.
Well, when I hear that as a parent educator, my heart does the happy dance, because when I hear things like that, my kid comes home and just melts down. And I say, well, there you go. You're the safe place. You're the place to let it all out. In other places, they got to hold it together to make sure they're accepted. But when they come to you, you know, it kind of sucks to be a parent in some ways, but you are the safe place where they can let it all out. No matter what they do, you are going to love them.
And that isn't necessarily bad for their mental health, right? If they're letting loose like that, that's probably a good thing.
Absolutely. Because one of the things that we also want to talk about is that kids need to be listened to and have their feelings respected in there, right? So that's what you're talking about. They do. It is absolutely imperative that they get a chance to feel what they're feeling and to have a chance to express that to somebody who is safe, right? Who are their people in there. So we accept all feelings. Feelings aren't right or wrong. They just come. There's no morality to them, but we do put limits on the behavior. So it's okay to feel angry or okay to be upset. It's not okay to whack your brother in the head, right, with the toy dinosaur. So we accept all feelings, but we do put limits on what you're allowed to do when you feel that way. So we limit those behaviors. But it's absolutely imperative, like you said, to provide opportunities where they get to express themselves. And sometimes that's through words and conversations. Sometimes it's through physical actions and behavior. Sometimes it's through dancing and singing and role play and dress up and digging in the mud. Those are all different ways to get those feelings out and to express them. So play is imperative in there. We need to give them opportunities for unstructured play where those emotions can come out in whatever way that child needs to get them out.
Is sometimes it also lying on the floor and having them jump on your stomach? Because that happens.
Happens more than once. Just remember, when you're play fighting and when you're mucking around like that, everybody has to agree to be a part of that.
Yeah,
if only
100%.
One person is agreeing, that's not okay.
I'm not the one jumping on the stomach, Jane. It's the other way around.
Well, yeah. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah,
Bob.
For sure.
I'm so glad.
For sure. You're right, though. It's like engaging them. And tell me if I'm off base here, but as you get to know your child, as your child matures, you get to learn what they need in certain situations, right? Like you get to see, okay, they're feeling like this, but here we are. It's one of these days. So let's go out and let's run around the backyard and see what happens, you know, or let's
Absolutely.
Go and, hey, do you feel like a popsicle, you know, along those lines? Reading your child's very important.
Well, and I think sometimes that's really important for mental health, because you're talking about being attuned to your child and meeting them where they're at and how they're feeling. So I think sometimes too, as the adults sort of in charge, we forget that we need to model everything. Kids learn through modeling. And when you do that, you're modeling empathy, you're modeling being a caring person, a kind person. And sometimes we think we just have to toe the line and be so consistent and never give in. And then all of a sudden we have kids that are consistent and never give in. And we're not happy about that when we need their help too, right?
Yeah. How do you give in a healthy way, Jane? There's your million-dollar question for the day.
Well, like you said, every family is unique. Every child is unique. So it depends on you. This is where you get to be that parental detective and peel away those layers and say, okay, what is the need underneath here? And that's a big part of mental health. It's part of resilience in there, is looking at the situation and seeing how else you can think about it, not getting caught up in the old patterns. Resilience is all about having flexible thinking in there and a positive attitude, rather than going in there and saying, oh, my kid is driving me crazy. You go in there saying, hey, they're not doing okay. I wonder what's going on. So being questioning about those things. It's a positive attitude where you can look at things from different perspectives in there and problem solve for what's going on. And a big part for kids' mental health in there is to help them be resilient. And that's giving them a chance to learn to try on different perspectives. I mean, we talked about that way back at Halloween, right? When we put on our costumes and you can be Superman or you can be the bad guy, trying on all those different perspectives in there so that you can look at life from different angles. And you talked about jumping and different ways of playing. Choices are always a part of mental health in there, empowering our kids with those choices so that they can try things out. And that helps us get that flexible thinking and be much more resilient in there.
Absolutely. Lots to think about today, Jane, that's for sure. Was there anything that we didn't mention that you wanted to get in there?
Well, just remembering that self-esteem, and I think we sort of covered it in everything we talked about, showing lots of love and acceptance in there so that they're feeling good about themselves. Praise not only their successes, but recognize and praise the effort that they're putting into things, and teaching them that failure is not a bad word, right? That failure is often how we learn to do new and neat, different things. Just show some interest in them. And of course, always having a positive environment. And that's part of that jumping on the stomach, right?
Yeah.
That positive environment where they know that they can try things and not get in trouble for it, you know, where they are again feeling safe and secure, and they've got good role models around them, right? So that they're always learning, we're always teaching. Remember to teach all of that stuff, you know, things like realistic expectations in there too, so we're not expecting of them what they cannot do. So the first rule of parenting or being with kids is whatever you focus on, you get more of. So that positive environment, looking for the positive things, right? Listening to them, helping them when they need help, stepping in and doing those things are all the important things for helping that mental health to form and be strong and resilient in there.
All right.
And like I said, for everybody, right?
Yeah, for everybody, for sure. And this is just a drip in the bucket of what Early On and Crow has to offer. There's many different resources that are available literally at our fingertips now. Jane, best ways for people to find different... I know you have a YouTube channel.
We do have a YouTube channel. CROW stands for Children's Resources on Wheels. And you'll see all sorts of videos on there of all sorts of things, including me yammering about this kind of stuff. But we also launched our brand new website on Monday.
Oh, great.
So we're excited about that. Very user-friendly. Check it out, crowlanark.com. And you can find us through there, all our contact information and everything that we have going on. You know, parent ed workshops. We have Good Discipline, Good Kids coming up starting this Wednesday night. We've got all sorts of play groups, baby times, baby talks. We've got all sorts of stuff going on. So check out our calendars at crowlanark.com and you'll see what we're up to.
And you've also got those individual Facebook pages for the different areas.
We do. I think we have about eight of them. So if you put in your area, say Perth in this case, early on, then you'll find a playgroup page. So your area plus early on, and you will find your facilitator. And they love to connect with people,
Jane.
grandparents, aunts, uncles, caregivers, parents, everybody.
Awesome. I was going to say, Jane, you're awesome. And it's always awesome to speak with you. We really appreciate it. We look forward to this every single month. Thank you so much for being here.
Well, thank you for having us. And I just got to say, we love listening to you. Make sure you're checking out this place too for all the election information that Bob's right on top of there.
Wow, my goodness. I the check's in the mail. Thanks for that,
Hey.
Jane. I appreciate it. No, that's very kind of you to say that. Really do. And we'll talk again next month.
All right, take care.
All right, our guest on In Focus today, Jane Paul from Early On, and of course, Crowe Children's Resources on Wheel. Don't forget, you can check out their new website, crowlanark.com. We'll put a link up to that in the description of this when we post it on our website, lanarkleadstoday.ca. Thanks so much for listening. Enjoy the rest of your holiday Monday. I'm Bob Perreault.